rest of the story. It was the little girl's brother who first called her Bay, B-A, short for baby. And you know, for the rest of her life, family and friends would refer to her as Bay. Bay's parents were progressive in their approach to child rearing. All of their children were taught to read as soon as they learned to talk. Bay was especially gifted. She was barely toddling when she astonished the family. Not merely by speaking, but by rhyming, by making up perfectly metered little verses in vocabulary beyond her years. The subject matter of Bay's poems was startlingly sophisticated as well. At six, for example, she presented her preacher father with a verse on the topic of virtue. Neither spoiled nor repressed, Bay blossomed into a charming child, and still her daddy realized that the little girl's precociousness would be meaningless unless she began to comprehend the people and the emotions behind those big words that she used so well. Considering this, he would take Bay with him on his own missions of mercy, whether visiting the sick or ministering to the poor, and Bay's fine mind and her good heart absorbed it all. Little eyebrows would knit together in thought, and she would sit in her nursery for hours and ponder the problems of the world. In her little notebook, she exclaimed, quote, "Open, O charity, thy bounteous hand, soften the sufferings of the tortured poor," end quote. There must have been something she could do, she thought, to comfort the infirmed and to feed the hungry and to ease the plight of the impoverished. And then it came to her. She would write more verses and more stories, and she would sell them, and she would donate the proceeds to the needy. Of course, she must cultivate a market for her writing and provide for publication and distribution, and to these ends, she enlisted the aid of her amazed parents. To keep matters clear and businesslike, they insisted. Now, this is a little tiny girl insisting on a complete file of correspondence. She would write to Mama, requesting that Mama purchase a story for a specified sum. Mama was then to make copies of the manuscript and sell them publicly and keep the profits. Bay was also quick to remind her parents, and in writing, of upfront money owed for literary properties already submitted. The little girl would sometimes solemnly suggest that such small fees as she asked were nonetheless considerable sums for those who had nothing at all. Well, no record survives to indicate how much money Bay earned from these childhood literary endeavors, and yet, as she had vowed, then and thereafter, all of the earnings from her poetry were donated to charity through all her years. And through those years, her brilliance never dimmed. Her compassion never diminished one whit. And so the story of her life really ought to be read in the context of this all but ignored first chapter, the one that you've never heard of before, the chapter about a small child with a big brain and an enormous heart, for the poetry she sold to help the needy was not to be her last. For generations, her name has been synonymous with enduring romantic love. But now you know that love just came naturally for Elizabeth Barrett Browning, because now you know the rest of the story.